Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
Today, we are going to talk about pita. And before you say anything, I know what you're going to say. You're going to talk about Mediterranean food. Oh, it's really funny. And then I'm going to turn to the side and go, John, it's not funny, blah, 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 blah. So we're going to talk about pita.
97.4%, Nick.
It's not a good number.
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a show where we talk about the questions that you never thought to ask.
I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Vegan.
Eventually, we'll get through one of these intros.
What's that sound?
What sound?
That intelligence.
Oh, you've noticed. It also might be because you're sitting across from me. I am now bespeckled.
Wow, how tasty.
I know, I've never had glasses before. And then I showed up today to work and people are like, those are fake. I'm like, no, these are my real glasses. And they're like, oh, yeah. I thought you just wore contacts all the time. I'm like, no, I've never had glasses or anything.
You look like a person with vision problems, is what they're trying to say.
You look like you have bad genetics.
Speaking of bad...
We've got plenty of bad to talk about. I'm feeling pretty bad today.
Yeah?
I got, like, this congestion. My wife and my daughter had a fever, and I think it's coming on, so I'm a little loopy. But you know what's going to cheer me up? Hating an international organization.
Sure. Always gets me good.
To do it?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about pita today. Not the Mediterranean sandwich.
Good one.
Keep coming back to that joke. That was supposed to be bench, but it came out gadoo. So I'm going to be completely transparent about my biases before going any further.
Okay. And then I will mine.
And I think that's important because you are a vegan, as we've talked about plenty of times. My wife is a vegetarian, so I've been experienced with the... my family loves animals, so even though I eat meat, I still love them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for a long time ago, I watched the Penn & Teller show Bull Crap.
They don't call you could say it on TV.
You can say it on TV.
So you could say it on
HBO.
This. It's bullshit. You could say it.
Yeah. It's a TV show. And they had an episode about PETA and how horrible they were, and ever since I hated them because they had all these... compelling arguments. And I know that I'm not alone. The internet loves to hate PETA about as much as they love to hate Nickelback. So I went into this researching thinking that I would absolutely come out of this hating them and just flinging mud everywhere. And now I came out of it not really hating them as much as I wanted to. I still hate them, but like, I don't know, like I'm not as fervorous about it as I wanted to be. So as a vegan, what are your views on PETA?
Okay.
Because I feel like there's a demographic of vegans that will vehemently side with PETA.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like there's another demographic that is like, PETA is garbo.
Yeah.
And also, let me say before we go into this, you told me before we started that you did a little bit of research on your own, which isn't something we normally do.
Yeah.
But I think that's important because you are a vegan, so it helps you get your facts straight.
Yeah, and also I have knowledge about how to save animals properly and have personally done it myself.
Yeah, this episode is perfect for...
I would be a guestpert. If I were not on the show regularly, I would be a perfect guest.
Yeah.
So I hate PETA.
Yeah?
Very much.
Did you hate PETA before you started your research?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Yep.
So why do you hate them?
Because...
Don't get any statistics because that's spoilers for our show.
I won't. I am a vegan.
Yes.
Because I live with Desiree.
Uh-huh.
She said, let's try this.
Yep.
And I said, okay, that's why. It wasn't like, let's save all the animals. It was just like, this is healthier and I care about animals and it's better for the environment. Let's try it.
Yeah. It's clear that you care about animals because you've had how many dogs come through your house?
In 5 years, I've rescued over 100 animals in my home.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we do that is you reach out to local rescues or people that are in need, kill shelters.
Mm-hmm.
They say, hey, we need to find homes for these animals. And Desiree would go, and she was the intake coordinator for a nonprofit organization. She would organize with another organization called Pilots and Paws, which is people that own planes and are very nice.
And then go fly and get...
They would fly the dogs to Kansas City, and then from Kansas City to Iowa, we would go to the airport, pick them up, bring them back to the center, personally give them vaccinations, and then we would wait, give them baths, get them into their foster homes immediately. If you are a organization that has as much power and influence as PETA...
And makes lots of money. $63 million a year.
You have the responsibility to use that power to save as many animals as you can, regardless of what they do.
One might say with great power comes great responsibility.
That's profound.
I just came up with that.
Thanks, 2005, Nick. Spider-Man's in theaters now. So I think that no matter what good they do, it's negated by the disgusting lack of morality that they have and the way that they treat situations, when I personally know that there is a better way because I've done it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how I feel. And beyond that, there is a group of the uninformed that look down on vegans as better than thou, because most people that are associated with PETA's the best have a hero complex, and they think people suck and animals are great, and I'm a better person than you because I care more about these animals.
Yeah.
And when you have that mindset, it makes people like me who say, hey, let's save as many as we can, but we're not going to convince people by threatening them, look bad.
Yes.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. That's my stance.
All right. Thanks for joining us on this episode. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
How many times are we going to do that?
Where
joke?
Can people find me?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give our listeners the facts and let them decide. You sprinkled it in there a little bit. There is some good that they do, but there is a lot of bad that they do, and it's all public knowledge. And I feel like a lot of people may already know this, and a lot of people may just be in the dark about it. So it's our job to enlighten you and let you make your own decision. So I'm going to try to here's what I'm going to do. My job is to give the facts, give PETA's explanation for the horrible things they do, and then you can rip them apart.
Yeah, that's a fair deal.
So before we start, just a quick history on PETA. If you don't know, PETA stands for the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Their main focus is taking down animal testing, fur and factory farming, and animals in entertainment. So, I mean, their main claim to fame is, like, get animals out of circus, but they also don't want them in movies.
Yeah.
In, like, Vegas acts and
or
stuff.
Pets.
Or pets, yeah. Well, they have a few other focuses, like just general animal rights, promoting veganism, not having pets, anything where an animal could be mistreated. Which, first of all, I think it's better to have an animal as a pet than just to let them go out in the wild and die.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I was just going to say, I'm going to make a mental note, but when you brought it up, I would say it. We domesticated dogs.
Yeah, so if you just let them out in the wild, they'd die.
We created them as they are. They used to be wolves. We turned them into cute little puppies and all that. They are cute evolutionarily, if that's a word. Please say it's a word.
It is.
Okay. So we have a responsibility to uphold that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, no, just let them out in the wild.
Yeah.
So they formed in 1980. Their first big break was when they uncovered some horrific experiments being performed on macaque monkeys. And if you look up pictures online, they are horrible. Like, they have these monkeys, I don't even know what you call them. They're like in clamps, and their heads are like being held up, and their arms are being held to the side. They're testing the behavior of these monkeys, and it's disgusting to look at. But they fought for 10 years to free these monkeys, eventually succeeded, and pushed a bunch of legislation in Virginia and eventually across the United States to promote better treatment of animals.
Okay. So now, when you see an image of a dead animal or being tortured or whatever, does it make you not want to eat meat, or you're just like, I don't want to see this?
That's a loaded question.
I know.
So
but
I
didn't mean it to be. I mean genuinely, because I don't want to see that garbage either.
Yeah.
I'm vegan, and I don't want to see animals tortured in factory farms. Right. I don't, like, okay, maybe I should watch those documentaries, but what's the outcome? Is it going to make me vegan? I already am.
Yeah.
And I don't want to torture other people, because
so
I don't think it's going to convince
them. You're not
the right
demographic for that. It's more targeted toward me, who just like goes down to McDonald's and is like, I need a hamburger.
Yeah.
When I watched Food Inc., which my wife got 3 seconds in when there was like a cow on a industrial hook being carried through a factory and getting slammed around. She said, nope, can't watch it. Watch the whole thing. And I was like, man, this is awful, but I'm really hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've told you this before. This is going to paint me in bad light. I'm just lazy.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of dedication and willpower to be a vegan or a vegetarian.
Doesn't.
That, like, well, hang on.
Okay. Sorry.
I have other things I got to fix before I start worrying about my diet.
Okay. Okay.
And that's crappy of me, but hey, maybe someday. Maybe someday.
So do you think that if, do you think it's a societal thing then? Like, no. If it was, well, Amy's fast food restaurants and yes. It was all vegan food everywhere, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, the only, this is also a crappy thing for me to say. The reason I'm not a vegetarian is because of convenience.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm at work, my options for a vegetarian diet are salad.
Yeah.
And salad.
Oh, I know. So everywhere I go, they're like, oh, did you want that? Salads are good, but no, I want, like, I like that fake stuff, man.
Yeah. Like pasta.
How about when I make, like, a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich all the time, or I make egg McMuffins with right. sausage. Like, yeah. I make all that stuff.
Well, my wife makes amazing veggie pot pies
yeah.
that I can't get enough of. Like, if they had just, like, any of that stuff at where I work, it'd be so much more convenient. But back on topic.
You could bring lunch, though, is what everyone's screaming.
I know, but, like, I get up, like, 5 minutes before I gotta be aware.
I'm gonna food prep for you. Make you a vegetarian, at least.
All right, well, you can do that. We'll see if I eat it. So there's been plenty of good things they've done over the years, and we'll get into more specifics at the end. But just to highlight a few, they've stopped a lot of companies from doing tests on animals, which is great. They've done a lot of what I would say is necessary damage to the fur industry. Like, I don't like fur, and I don't really think people should wear it. So they've kind of got that out of vogue, I guess, so mm-hmm. it's not as popular. They've also got a lot of fast food chains to stop using such horribly sourced animals, like the cow I talked about before. And the list goes on and on. But the reason I bring up all of these things they've done right is because if you search PETA online, the first thing you'll find is PETA's website, and then right under that is like PETAKillsAnimals.com.
Yeah.
The internet loves to hate PETA, and there's certainly a lot to hate. Then there's some people that might be like, sure, they're annoying, but they're not doing anything wrong, right? They just care about animals. That's wrong. They do their best to justify their actions, so I will bring up their side of all of the horrible things they've done, but I want to talk about those horrible things. You ready? It's fun.
Are we going to talk about the good stuff first?
No.
Okay.
We'll save that for the end. We're going to leave on a good note.
I don't know. I'd rather leave them burning to a crisp.
No. Because their justifications suck. So,
okay.
The first thing I want to talk about is what everyone points to when they talk about PETA. This is like the hard-hitting one. So we're going to start with the hard-hitting one and go backwards, which is kind of opposite of what we normally do. But, of course, we got to talk about their euthanasia rates.
Yeah.
In my research, all the hatred came back to this, and it was kind of hard to get past that to see what else people didn't like him for. And rightfully so, the numbers are horrific.
Did you find it hard to find information that was negative sometimes? Or was it just loaded up? Because on YouTube, there's not a lot of documentaries, are there?
Right. So it wasn't that it was hard to find things to hate. It was that it all came back to this one thing. So when I wanted to research their horrible ad campaigns, I know that they have awful ad campaigns out there that are frightening to children and they shouldn't be out there, but it was hard to get to those because it always came back to euthanasia.
Okay. I found that on YouTube, if you search PETA, they've flooded their own channel with so much stuff uh-huh. that it's hard to find like facts about that are unbiased.
That's also a problem.
Yeah.
So for every website where they were trying to give the truth about PETA, there's also people that went off the deep end and gave exaggerated details, but then there's also people that defended them.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to find that on YouTube in particular.
Yeah, so what I have here is public information that they've published out there, and it's their euthanasia, it was their received animal numbers, their transferred animal numbers, and their adopted animal numbers from 1998 all the way to 2016, and by figuring out how many animals they received and then how many were adopted, we can figure out how many animals they killed. And you already alluded to one number, 97.4%.
Yeah.
In 2006, only 2.6% of the animals that PETA took in actually survived. That is awful. That if you round up and be generous, for every 100 cats or dogs they took in, 3 of them lived.
And did you get to their dumb, stupid, idiot justification
for
that?
Yeah, we'll get there, because okay. I got a few more. Because that's just one year. There's some years where it was better, like in 1998, it was 72.6%, still bad. 2009, it was right back up there at 97.3%. The highest it's been was in 2006. Their overall average from 1998 to 2016 is 85.8%.
Okay. Here's my other thing that I found might be difficult to approach. Mm-hmm. These are old numbers, right?
Yeah. Well, okay.
What we're covering has been known for years. 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten a little bit better. So, like, in 2014, it was 88.3, which is bad. But then in 2015, it dropped 15 points to 75.76.
Okay.
2016, it was 71.9. It's a little bit better. But to put that in perspective, according to the Humane Society, about 25% of sheltered animals are euthanized each year. So they are, like, double the amount of normal shelters.
Or triple.
Of normal kill shelters. And PETA justifies this by saying they are giving animals a mercy killing. Like, that's their exact words. I'm not making that up. To their point, they will take in any animal. That's their whole thing, is that no matter the circumstances, they will take in the animal.
Right.
So when they talk about this, they will show pictures of animals with these giant tumors coming out of their eyes, or, like, they're missing a bunch of skin on their back, or they got abscessed whatever's orifices. And they'll say that these animals are unadoptable. They're in pain, and by euthanizing, they are giving them a welcome release from the pain and from this life, and they end their suffering. And I don't know if you'll agree with this, but there's a certain truth to that. They do take in literally every animal, whereas, according to them, some shelters might turn away animals depending on how adoptable they are or if they're diseased or whatever. I don't feel like that's as common as PETA makes it out to seem. Maybe you can enlighten me a little bit more on that.
That animals are turned away?
Yeah.
So if you want to go to a nonprofit organization and get your animal adopted, one of the things sometimes that's asked for is a surrender fee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cover. Like, we're going to lose money on taking your animal no matter what.
Yeah.
Because it's a nonprofit, but we need to get them a bed, clean water, clean food, to give them a bath, make sure they're up to date on their shots and vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
Shots and vaccinations alone for one animal is usually like $200.
Yeah.
Depending on, like, for lifespan. But
yeah.
It's like usually $50. And if people say we don't have that money, we'll recommend another rescue or another rescue.
Yeah.
And because if you end up taking an animal to a shelter, like, there's one here that we call CRAC,
mm-hmm.
Cedar Rapids Animal Control Center.
Yep.
They're a kill shelter.
Mm-hmm.
But they also work with rescues to try to get animals out when that day comes.
Yeah.
So, like, they'll talk to Desiree and they'll say, hey, this animal has been here for a long time. No one's adopting it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take him in? And we'll take him. We'll go drive there, take him, and bring him to the shelter.
Yeah.
You know? Or to the rescue instead of a shelter.
So,
but beyond that, hold on real quick. As far as taking all animals in, like, it's a death sentence. Who cares? Like, an animal has a chance out in the open world, mm-hmm. or an opportunity to be adopted in other ways or go to a rescue,
yeah.
versus, oh, we're definitely going to kill you and take away that chance.
Yeah, there's a 97.4% chance that we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
So I guess the point that I want to make is that PETA says shelters will turn away certain animals to make their euthanasia rates look better. And I feel like that's probably grossly exaggerated by them.
That's not true.
Right.
Like, you know, there are times that we'll be stripped for resources at one of the rescues, because I worked with Last Hope for a long time.
Yeah.
No matter what rescue you're going to get to, you're having a bunch of people that are working for free.
Yeah.
When you have that situation, there's going to be egos that fight and there's going to be drama.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there are going to be situations where you're stripped for resources and we all work together. It's not like there's any competition. You recommend to go to a different one or a different one. That's what we do, rather than turn them away.
Yeah.
We'd say, actually, All Saints, which is primarily a cat rescue, they will be able to take this in, or this other rescue will be able to take them in. And, like, you just keep going through it until you could get someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then people make phone calls. And I know one of their other arguments.
Community effort.
Yeah. The other argument was that something about it's worse to keep them in homes because they might have, like, dirty bowls of water and all that. Did you see that?
No.
I found out there's a Philip DeFranco video that he did on this. And there's so many amazing people that I've met that, like, first of all, they're not all the animals are kept in shelters with mm-hmm. rescues. A lot of times it's in people's homes.
Yeah.
It's fostering. They completely leave that out of the argument.
So PETA will say, we don't want to give them to foster homes because they might have dirty bowls.
Yeah.
Drinking water.
That I cannot confirm that, but that is what Philip DeFranco said.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like something PETA would say. The other thing that I want to point out is a majority of their euthanasias happen within 24 hours of the animal arriving at the shelter.
Yeah.
Which means that they never gave this animal a chance.
Right.
They determined this animal is unadoptable and he's gone. That's not a funny joke to say, but they make this snap decision. They don't even try to get a foster home or contact another shelter and say, will you take this in?
Yeah. I'm not with Last Hope anymore, but there's this dog that I'm in love with
mm-hmm.
that's still there and not adopted. And his name's Barclay and he's from Egypt, and he got acid poured on him by some kids when he was just, like, living in Egypt, and it made him, like, scared of people, right? Mm-hmm. So now we've got maybe 200 people over 5 years that wanted to adopt him, and we turned them all down because they weren't perfect.
Yeah.
And like, it's not that he's, it's like there's a different level of care and attention that's put into it, mm-hmm. that I've seen the contrast. We didn't give him 24 hours. Oh, I guess nobody's going to want him. He's been there for 5 years. He gets taken out on the weekends and taken to the dog park and like mm-hmm. played with and all that.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure he gets the right home.
Yeah.
But that's what's important is like, you got to take time. Yeah. Every dog's different.
Yeah. You can't just throw a blanket statement over all these dogs. First of all, I just realized that like in 2016 they took in just shy of 2,000 animals, which seems incredibly low to me for a company that makes $63 million.
So that's the other thing, is I thought that they, when we started doing this, I was like, okay, are they still relevant? I was like, are they still around?
Yes.
They've got 1 million Twitter followers.
Yeah. Well, okay, so one thing I was gonna talk about at the very end, when they have 2017 in numbers, so they have all the things that they want you to be proud of them for,
yeah,
in like this stat sheet, and half of them, no, like a quarter of them, I didn't have room in my notes, were like, we reached this many people, looked at our website, we got this many likes on our Facebook, we got this many followers on Twitter, our Australian website got this many hits, we got featured in these news articles, this news corporation had stories about us on their TV show.
Yeah,
it was all, look at us,
we're still
people
relevant,
know who we are.
Yeah,
it was incredibly disheartening. And I was going to save this a little bit later, but since we're already talking about their money usage, there's some shady stuff going on there that I want to hit on. Some people, I read online that the people in their company get huge paychecks. Only 1% of their money actually goes toward helping animals.
1%?
I feel like it's... Pause. because I dove into their taxes. Some of that's true. Most of it's not. The thing that PETA prides themselves on is that they only gave their president $34,000 for a salary.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you is that like two of the VPs got six-figure salaries. There's a veterinarian that got a six-figure salary. And they spent $9 million on salaries and they have 300 employees.
Wow, cool.
So you can't just
you killed 97.4 of your animals.
So that's the first shady thing.
See, that right there, that's enough for me to hate them no matter what they do.
Yeah, they will dive. You're going to hate them even more here because, like I said, they raised $63 million last year. $6 million of that went to nothing but printing and mailing things. $9 million went to salaries. $1.4 million went to legal fees for all the controversial stuff they do.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million went to travel alone. $16 million was unclassified.
Hey, asterisk real quick on the shady stuff they do.
Yeah.
It's also shady stuff that terrorist organizations do that they cover. They pay their legal fees if you would go and bomb like a meat factory.
Yeah.
Which, hey, I mean, I don't want those things around either, but come
on. Yeah. So pretty much the only thing, good thing I saw them spending money on was 1.7 to grant programs. A lot of critics will say this is frivolous spending. I think there's an argument there. On the flip side, if you say 1% goes toward helping animals, you have to remember almost all of their animal care happens in-house. So they have like a traveling spay and neuter station, or they bring in the animals and they have a salary that goes toward a veterinarian. So it's hard to figure out what percentage actually goes towards helping animals.
Yeah.
But back to my earlier point, $63 million for 2,000 animals doesn't seem quite right.
No. Could I, before I forget my point real quick, one of their arguments is overpopulation, right?
Uh-huh.
That's a problem.
Yep.
And that is actually a problem.
Yep.
But let's say, screw PETA, they don't exist for a second, and only rescues exist.
Yeah.
When you have a rescue, you do have to turn some animals down to take them in. If you can't recommend them to go to another rescue, mm-hmm. or if you don't have enough fosters.
Yeah.
Because in my house, I've got 3 puppies. I'm a little overwhelmed, right? And I'm not ready to take in another litter of 8.
Yeah.
I've had 26 in my house at the same time once.
That was awful.
That counts as one group.
Yeah.
It doesn't count as 13 Chihuahua puppies. It counts as one litter of Chihuahua puppies mm-hmm. and their moms. That's 2. But there are breeding factories
mm-hmm.
where they just, puppy mills, they just churn them out as quick as they can. They put them in the pet shops. You think the pet shops aren't doing anything bad because how could it be fascistas that these dogs are clean and happy and having fun? But they're actually directly supported by puppy mills. Iowa is one of the worst states in the country
mm-hmm.
for puppy mills.
Yeah.
Now, you got people that are completely uninformed about political stuff, but you should be a little bit informed because it touches everything that you do. Donald Trump put in legislation to get rid of the list of puppy mills so we cannot identify who these people are as easily.
Oh, good. That's great. Good job.
I would like you to look into actually what the legislation is and figure that out for me.
Yeah.
Because I cannot name it off the top of my head. But I know that happened.
Yeah.
And I know that there are guys here that are like, they literally have like disgusting situations. And I know Desiree's visited them because sometimes they can get shut down. Mm-hmm. But you can only go onto their property if you have like a noise complaint or something like that. Right. Otherwise, it's totally private property. You can't do anything. They could churn out as many puppies as they want. They're in kennels. And sometimes they don't have flooring. So like they'll get like, they'll stand on wires their whole lives and just breed.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's awful. But I will say that PETA, part of their money is going towards legislation to stop puppy mills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's some of the good that they've done. We'll get back to that. Going back a little bit, I want to talk about their horrible ad campaign. That's kind of their other claim to fame is like they'll either have half-naked women saying not to eat meat, or they'll compare eating animals to the Holocaust, or compare eating meat to raping women. So I don't know if this counts, but they're also famous for throwing paint on people's fur coats. But my absolute favorite is this brochure that they'd hand out to kids called Mommy Kills Animals. And the cover has a picture of this like crazed woman graphically stabbing a live rabbit. And there's a few more examples. One Reddit user who deleted their name said that this is a direct quote from them, they ran a shock campaign showing a horribly cut up and injured lamb and tried to claim that it was a result of shearing, which it came out later the lamb was faked. It was made out of like what you would make a movie mask out of, and they were trying to make Australian sheep farms look bad.
Yeah.
And all of the animal rights organizations in Australia were like, no, they're up to code, none of this is happening, you guys are just making this up.
Yeah.
They also said a New York mayor was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and PETA ran a photo of him with a milk mustache and the words "got prostate cancer" to illustrate that their claims that dairy products can lead to cancer. So they're attacking this mayor for having prostate cancer. Like, how can your day get any worse? And you're like, yes, because you drink milk, you idiot.
Okay, so I think that, like, again, this has been going on for like 20, 30 years now, right? Yep. Maybe longer than that.
Almost 40.
And that's why, like, when you talk about being vegan, that's why vegan jokes exist.
Yeah.
It's because these people
like,
are jokes.
Like PETA.
Yeah, they're a bunch of jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not true at all. And they say, and rightfully so, this is to grab the attention of the public. It does its job. But I also don't want my kids seeing a graphic image of a bunny getting stabbed from what's supposed to be her mother, cartoonized.
So I'd like to know the statistics on how much shock works versus just like presenting facts respectfully.
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference, like, I don't know if they tried that for a long time and then said, well, we have to be more shocking and aggressive.
I feel like they've been trying to be shocking since the dawn of time.
That's what it sounds like to me. And I guess, like, I know that it does work to be shocked, but you can shock people with numbers. I don't know, maybe they think that...
Yeah, like when I tell you they killed 97.4%
of their
animals.
That's a shocking number.
Doesn't that make you hate them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
I just feel like when you show people graphic imagery, it turns them off.
Yeah.
And they don't want to know about it.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Just tell me the numbers and I'm going to be more inclined to listen. Since we're talking about the New York mayor, they use false science to back their claims. They remind me of how anti-vaxxers operate. So there's all these studies that come out saying this is fine, and then there's one saying maybe dairy products cause cancer, and they're like, yep, that's the one we want, it causes cancer, yay.
Yeah.
They've also said that if someone with autism stops consuming dairy products, it alleviates their symptoms, or dairy products can lead to autism, based on the same kind of principle where it's, hey, we got one study out of a million, we got one. So that's just awful.
So yeah, that's awful. The way that they're dealing with that is awful.
Yeah.
But here's why it's especially awful, is I think that there is a lot of harm from dairy products.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of gross stuff we put in it. Yeah. And they're taking away from that argument.
Yeah.
By presenting it as fake that way.
You just go way far off the deep end. So when someone starts saying like, no, there's actually bad stuff in our milk, the calcium isn't entering your body, it's leaching it from your bones.
Or there's a bunch of hormones.
Yeah, okay, PETA. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And now it's more likely that people will drink milk and not think about hormones and chemicals that are in it and stuff.
Yeah. There's also this sensationalized story of PETA stealing pets off people's porches and then euthanizing them. And someone online was like, well, they got to get their animals somehow. No. I came across one story where they took one dog off of someone's porch on accident, euthanized it.
And then came back with a fruit basket to apologize.
Yeah, they came back with something. They're like, oh man, it was a sincere accident. We didn't mean to. I didn't come across any other stories where this happened.
It's more of like an urban legend that ended up being true.
Yeah, and it did end up, it was on Snopes, but that paints them in a bad light. So a lot of people hate them for that reason. That's why I bring it up, but it's not necessarily true.
You also have to remember, no matter how well-intentioned you are, when you get to a certain level, you're gonna have some bad people involved with your group.
Yeah,
you know,
and if you make one mistake, it's,
I mean, that's a really bad mistake.
People already hate you, and you make one mistake, they're going to find any reason to blow that up and hate you even more.
Right.
That's just how the internet works these days. And my point is, there's more things to hate them for than this.
Yeah.
And then there's the last thing I got is that there's just a lot of hypocrisy. Like in the Penn and Teller episode, they talk about how the VP takes insulin for diabetes, insulin, which comes from cows. She's very transparent about it. And her argument is that she needs to live to fight for the rights of these animals. But at the same time, if you're telling people not to use it, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
They also never come right out and say you should be vegan. They kind of straddled the line. They support this thing called flexitarianism. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Flexitarianism, I think, is probably a better way to pronounce it. but they don't. Their whole thing is they don't want to alienate any potential supporters. Like if a celebrity is like, well, I don't really want to give up all my meat. I like my chicken. Can't go without Chick-fil-A. They're like, oh, no. Flexitarianism, it's fine. Like, you can eat that sometimes. Whenever you're like, oh, I got an anchoring for chicken. So, like, they don't want to lose out on endorsements.
I get not trying to alienate people, and I get not trying to be too aggressive and saying you're evil if you eat meat.
Yeah, but you have to have conviction.
But come on.
Like, you're not trying to force it on me.
No.
But once in a while, you're like, you ever think about it? And I'm like,
yeah, maybe. Sure. Yeah. That's, I mean, ideally, I would love it. That'd be great. It'd be better for our world if everybody could be vegan. Okay, here's another thing. There's a lot of our problems, a lot of the methane gas, for climate change. I think that the best thing we could do is if everybody was vegan.
Yeah. We wouldn't have huge factory farming.
Well, yeah.
This is way off topic, but that's an argument that will come up with my wife a lot.
Yeah.
Where someone will find out that she's vegetarian and they're like, well, the animals are already just like producing all this gas, so we got to get rid of them and kill them. Well, they wouldn't be there if you didn't buy the freaking hamburgers.
Yeah, because you have to create more factory animals. Farming. Right. And then it's not only that, it's also dairy farms. There's a lot of killing that happens at dairy farms too. There's a lot of cruelty that happens at dairy farms.
Yeah. So my last thing on their hypocrisy is they don't want you to have pets, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You care about these animals, but you don't want them to be loved and cared for. I love my fish that I have. Are you kidding me?
You're very nice to your fish, and I hope that you've given up seafood since you got him. But hold on a sec. Maybe not, because fish do eat fish.
Yeah, go on.
Anyway.
My fish flakes are made out of fish.
Yeah, that is true.
Anyway, go on.
Are there any other animals that you feed them, like, other versions of themselves to?
Probably pigs. Pigs eat everything.
Yeah, but that's a human thing. They wouldn't normally go out and eat pigs.
I don't know. Hamsters eat their young.
What about naturally? I guess hamsters. You get, like, little gerbils and stuff. They'll do that. Probably monkeys, because they're evil sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Should we talk about some of the good things they've done?
Why did you put this at the end? I hate them.
We gotta be fair. Because, okay, so they've done good. We already hate them. I think you're still going to hate them because there's not a lot of good things that they've done. This is their timeline of good things that they've done.
Okay.
I'm not going off the joke one that I wanted to do because that was seriously a joke.
Yeah.
But these are some of the things they've done throughout history. So I talked about the case with the macaque monkeys. They've also implemented legislation in California that stopped people from experimenting on stray animals, which is pretty good. They exposed the beating of monkeys at a Vegas show and got the whole show shut down. They stopped car crash testing on live animals, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Jesus Christ.
So I'm glad they got that stopped. They shut down, like I said before, they shut down plenty of unethical puppy mills. They keep a list of, right now it's at 2,915 companies that don't test on animals, which in turn encourages more companies not to test on animals. They've persuaded brands like General Mills, Danone, Nestle, and Dunkin' brands to adopt policies that encourage their suppliers to end cruel dehorning practices, where they would remove the horns of baby cows. Very painful and horrific.
Yeah, did you see Hellboy?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
Oh my
God. On my shelf.
Thank goodness.
And then of course they've rescued countless animals. Actually, it's not countless. I have the numbers here. But they've rescued approximately 2,000 animals a year and promptly euthanized them. So if you're out there wondering, well, what can I do instead of PETA? Here's my recommendation. You probably have better recommendations than I do. The best bet that I came across was the Humane Society. I looked into ASPCA and they're a little bit better, but they still do support kill shelters. I would say go local. You can't find a giant global organization that's going to be perfect in a no-kill.
Type in non-kill animal rescue and your state.
Yeah, and you'll find something close by. Mm-hmm. You're helping local nonprofits.
The other thing is a lot of it comes out of pocket. Like, I've paid thousands of dollars to save these animals myself in my house, feed them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't always get enough donations.
Yeah.
Like, so you have to just, like, take care of it any way you can if you can help save them. But what's disappointing me is if they save 2,000 animals in a year.
Yeah.
And I've saved 100 in 5 years.
Yeah, and you're one person.
I'm one person.
Well, you and Desiree are two.
Yeah, so that's a huge chunk of their percentage that I just chipped away at as two people. Yeah. That's yeah. disappointing.
That's
with how much money they make.
Well, okay, this is the funny thing. You're one person. 20 a year puts you at 105 years. You're at 1% of theirs per year.
Yeah.
One person's at 1% of what PETA does.
So here's the other thing. How long does it take? Like, what's from start to finish? But what I've done is pretty hands-on compared to what's like...
Common.
You can just take an animal in as a foster, sign up to your shelter, mm-hmm. let them live in your house for 2 or 3 weeks until they're ready to go. And if you fail, great. You got a new pet. Mm-hmm. I did that 7 times. Trust me.
How many? Exactly. So yeah, it's always disheartening, but I think painting this picture and setting it clear for everyone will maybe help remove this stigma against vegans, and maybe someone will go out and foster a dog.
Yeah.
So support your local shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Got anything else before we move on to our Facebook questions?
I don't think so.
All right. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. All right, John, where can people find us?
You can go to StrangerSocial.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also help us get more facts and research by supporting us on Patreon.
Yeah, that's a good idea, man.
So you go to patreon.com/StrangerSocial,
uh-huh.
and we'll use that money to like get past paywalls and to like do good.
Yeah, and if you want to support a local animal shelter, put it into Google or Bing if you're an idiot, and try to find one near you.
Yep.
So we got some Facebook questions. You had some on your personal page, and I had some from our group.
Yeah, and beyond that, if you join our Facebook group, I'm also going to share a playlist of research that I found.
Uh-huh.
So go to strangers facebook.com/strangersstill and you could check that out.
Group/strangersstill. Yep. So we've got just a few questions. Most of them are from Jason. he wanted to know if they're still considered a terrorist organization. I believe that that's been lifted, but I'm not 100% sure. Like you said, they do deal with the legal fees for people that go and blow up factory farms and stuff like that. So I don't think that they're doing it directly, but I do believe they advocate it. He will also want to know if there's any evidence that their campaigns are effective at whatever it is they're trying to do. you know, I don't think they're very effective. Like they've done the Pokemon black and blue instead of diamond and pearl at the time.
I've never heard it in a positive context.
Right, they've Super Tofu Boy instead of Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
It's always a joke.
Yeah.
I don't think it's effective at all, but I didn't come across any statistics.
Because we're talking about it, but it's not like, we're talking about the joke. We're not talking about what they want from it.
Yeah. So. Jeff Tibbetts from Chapter Approved podcast, he said, not a question, but can you please talk about how they recommended Games Workshop stop making miniatures with fur on them? PETA, shut up. It's a fantasy world. It's not like some celebrity wearing a fur coat down the street from an actual animal that was killed to make this coat.
Wait, they're talking about digital fur?
He's talking about miniatures
mm-hmm.
for a role-playing game. So Games Workshop makes miniatures that you can use
with fake fur on them.
With like, it's plastic.
Yeah.
It's just sculpted to look like fur.
Oh, yeah. Shut up. What's the next one? That's terrible.
They're a bunch of idiots. PETA is not
so
Jeff.
I got a bunch on here too. I'll jump in with a couple of them. But I'll just do them in groups. So Jay says, why has their organization not been shamed as a non-existent? existence, right?
Mostly celebrities.
Yeah, Deborah says, so the rumors about PETA euthanizing animals. Okay, so the rumors about PETA euthanizing animals because there are so many without homes has been confirmed. I do not agree with this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What percentage of animals were put down last year at the PETA shelter in Virginia?
I believe that the numbers I gave were from the Virginia place. I think that's the only place where they take them in.
So probably 75%?
Yeah, it was 73. I just pulled it up my notes.
Okay. Jason says, what happened with the case where they tried to argue a monkey that took that photograph of the selfie? Do you remember that whole thing?
Yes, I came across an article that talked about that. They were mad that a monkey had taken a selfie of itself. 71.9 was their kill rate last year. I feel there's this sharp dip, and I feel like that's because it finally came into the forefront. We kind of hit on that a little bit already.
Deborah also shared an organization she cares about called Best Friends. Mm-hmm. So if you go to bestfriends.org, they have a no-kill campaign going on, and they're better for animals.
Yeah, there's a lot of... So here's the other thing I came across, is that there's a lot of people and organizations fighting for no-kill shelters, but it's really hard to find just a global organization that is no-kill.
Okay. Becca said, did they take lost animals from shelters after hurricanes? Why would they not reunite their families? I can speak to that because I personally have experience. Go for it. Desiree went down to Texas for 2 weeks. And tried to find they tried to find animals in the rubble. They got into boats and went through houses and stuff. A lot of these dogs, especially in Texas, people are not educated on like being up to code per se.
Yeah,
so they don't get their dogs microchipped, and there's no way to know where they mm-hmm. are supposed to go. If they get microchipped, then we could say, hey, we've got your dog in this shelter up here, come get him, or let's get him to you somehow. But a lot of dogs are just like not chipped, which means that you scan them on the back, mm-hmm. it's like the size of a grain of rice. Or sometimes they could get dislodged, especially if they're injured or something like that.
Right, if it's after a hurricane, mm-hmm. definitely see that. The only other thing that Jason wanted to know is if their euthanasia rates have come down. And like I said, they have. Wait, did I already answer this? They have come down, and I would like to see them come down to like, I forget, in Virginia where most of their euthanasias happen, the rate is a little bit higher. It's in the 40%. So even if they got closer to that, I'd be a little bit happier.
Yeah.
If it got closer to the 25% we see nationally, I'd be ecstatic.
So there's no easy solution to stopping all this because there are so many animals.
Put some of your millions of dollars towards housing these animals, giving them a pleasant life.
Yeah, that's one. Two.
Ta-da.
Puppy mills.
Yeah.
You need to stop. Like, I get it. I'm happy that there are more dogs in the world, but it's not that if there are more dogs, there's more happiness. The more dogs there are, there's still people that say, like, well, I've already got a dog. I don't have time for another. Mm-hmm. And they're neglected. You're creating more misery that way. And you're creating, and the people that are creating these puppies are not,
and
they don't care. It's profit.
Puppy mills.
Yeah.
Adopt. You always hear adopt, don't shop. And I feel like that's easily dismissed because it rhymes.
Yeah.
But seriously, consider it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to, like, you have this beautiful dog named Mocha that I want so bad. My wife won't let me have it, but I would never want a purebred animal because that animal is just so cute.
Yeah.
It's just so gorgeous. And so, I want her so bad.
Okay, let's get into the nuances of breeders too.
Yeah.
I adopted from a breeder who breeds huskies. Mm-hmm. He makes like one litter a year. He gets like 6 or 7 dogs. They all go to great homes.
Yeah.
He's not churning out hundreds of dogs a month.
Yeah.
So if you're doing it respectfully and it's like at a small enough scale, mm-hmm. the way that I knew that they were okay and treating their animals okay was when I went to their home and I picked up Silas, my husky.
Mm-hmm.
His wife cried and she gave him a hug and a kiss. And that made me know like, okay, these animals are cared about.
Yeah.
Versus there's a guy in Iowa that has shacks and shacks and shacks and barns where he stacks the crates up so it could fit more.
Yeah,
you know? So there's also a differentiation there. And what's tough is that there are people that do breed dogs that say, no, don't get rid of us completely because some of us are ethical. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people that say, hey, how much money could I make off of breeding these two? Yeah. Or they'll go online and say, my dog is fertile, is yours, let's breed them.
That's actually how my parents got their dog, Sugar. She's really dumb, but she's really adorable. Stupid, but cute, is what you'd call her.
Yeah.
She came from a couple of guys that they found out, like with her breed, and I forget the other breed, but if you bred them together, you'd get really expensive puppies.
Yeah.
So then they got found out and a foster person took her in. We got her from that foster.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could go through real quick all my dogs. Like I had Fawn. Fawn was adopted because there was a drug raid. There's a guy that had a bunch of drugs in a house in Texas and there were 4 puppies that were saved.
Yeah.
So like the SWAT teams came in and like raided the place.
Wow.
Then I've got that. Brooks, who's 14, he lived in both Boston and in California, and somehow he's just, like, at my house now.
Okay.
You know? And then I've got, like, Wally, who's on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And I adopted him for $50.
Yeah.
And he would waddle when he walked, so we named him Wally.
Yeah.
Wally Winkle, or Wallace Winkleton is his full name. And then the girl that ended up getting us to him, adopting to us, got arrested for robbing a bank a couple years later.
Good. So you got him out of a bad home.
Yeah. Silas was from the breeder with the mom that cried.
Yeah.
And JJ came to me with one eye.
Yeah.
And then a hole on the other side of his head.
Yeah.
Like, and we got him sewed up, and he's gone blind, but he's still, like, really feisty and happy.
Yeah, cute dog, too. I feel bad for him, though.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, like, we talk about how PETA says some of these guys are unadoptable. Like, you've taken in deaf dogs.
Okay, here's another.
Got them adopted.
Yeah.
Like,
here's another dog, Jenner.
Yeah.
I named him Jenner because we didn't know what sex he was.
Right.
Right? Maybe not PC, but
yeah, it was.
It was. At the time, like, he, we thought he was a girl, but he was born without a penis.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't go to the bathroom because he was, like, deformed. And there was a, the breeder that was making all these puppies and trying to churn them out,
yeah,
said, oh, he's not going to sell because he's broken.
Yeah.
So he went to the rescue at Last Hope.
Uh-huh.
We got him to Wisconsin. We drove him there. They paid $8,000 out of pocket to get him fixed,
yeah,
and to have him reconstructed so that he can go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not, maybe not, I don't know where the money came from with that, because there are groups that just work towards medical bills.
Yeah.
But man, like, you could really spend a lot more time on one dog than they do. And they've got the resources, which
That's
just kills
the
thing. Me.
They have so many resources to actually care for animals.
Yeah.
And they just don't. So I'm laying the hammer down. Bong, bong, bong. They're still an awful organization.
All right.
Fair?
Fair.
Should we wrap this puppy up?
Yeah, wrap this puppy up.
See what I did there?
I'd see. It was a good one.
Thanks. Let's just ruminate on that for a second.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is Stranger Still.